This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, in for Terry Gross. Today's next guest, Julie Klausner, created, writes, and co-stars with Billy Eichner in the Hulu comedy series Difficult People, which launched its third season earlier this month. She and Billy Eichner play best friends living in New York. They're both aspiring comics who are failing at becoming famous. One of the show's executive producers is Amy Poehler. Julie Klausner was a co-executive producer and writer for Billy Eichner's other TV series, Billy on the Street. She also did some writing for Joan Rivers. And she is obsessed enough with pop culture that she used to be a recapper, writing episode recaps for The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and New York. Terry spoke with Julie Klausner last year.
Julie Klausner, welcome to Fresh Air. I want to quote something you write in your book. And you write, there's a fantasy I've always entertained about connecting with somebody who hated as much about the world as me. somebody crank and crank contrarian who loved dishing about successful people we both knew. So how did that go?
It went great, Terry. That was basically my intention. I published my vision board, I guess. but in the book, I was talking about a romantic partner and on the show, you know, there very much is a romance between our characters, but we are best friends.
But in real life, have you tried to, like, form relationships based on hating things and based on, like, what you don't like about pop culture or what you don't like about certain celebrities? And how far does that get you? That deep connection through, I don't like it either.
I think it gets you pretty far. But it goes beyond the superficial of what I don't like about celebrities. I think when you connect with someone that has always felt like an outsider or who has not found her tribe yet or is still looking to be heard in a way that she, I keep saying the third person, I'm clearly talking about myself, the way that I didn't feel like I was necessarily heard or understood growing up, then there is a romance to that commiseration. It's a shared experience. So I don't, I don't acknowledge precisely how shallow that sounds. I think that it is rooted in a more simple desire to connect with someone that you have something in common with that's actually pretty deep and emotional and comes from, you know, in some cases, some pretty traumatic childhood experiences.
So I want to play another clip. And this is from the third episode of the first season of Difficult People. And Billy, who's played by Billy Eichner, was going to appear as the bartender on the Bravo talk show Watch What Happens Live. But he's asked to leave because one of the celebrity guests that night, Chelsea Handler, didn't like the fact that Billy had made fun of her on Twitter. So Billy's really depressed about getting thrown out of the show. And he and you go back to your apartment where your boyfriend is also, he's really depressed. And he works on PBS and Pledge Week isn't going well for him. So Billy speaks first.
I was banned from Bravo.
Congratulations.
It's Chelsea Handler's fault.
No, it's my fault too. I need to stop being mean to celebrities. Every time I talk about a famous person, I lose a potential gig.
Talking about celebrities is what we do, okay? It's the only thing that comes more naturally to us than breathing air.
I know, but maybe it's time to pull Perez Hilton.
Pose in a Speedo with a baby in the bathtub?
No, I mean stop being mean to celebrities.
Just as it's starting to pay off? Chelsea Handler knows who you are now. Maybe it's just a question of picking your feuds as your star rises. I'm hungry. Are you hungry, Arthur? Is there dinner?
No, I'm sorry, Noodles. I was just far too spent when I got home. Would you like pizza?
I guess.
Arthur, are you okay?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Billy. And I'm sorry I didn't get up to greet you when you came in. It's just pledge drive week at PBS, and it is even crazier than last year.
Oh, my God, I just got invited to The Simpsons Live at Town Hall after party.
Oh, I didn't get that invitation, probably because I'm mean to everyone. I bet I said something provocative about Yardley Smith on Instagram at some point.
Is it Yardley or Yeardley?
I don't know.
And an invitation will always be redundant because you will always be my plus one.
Well, thank you.
What am I, flake sandwich meat?
And as far as the whole being nice to celebrities thing, I'm not in favor of it, particularly because Chrissy Teigen just weighed in on the Greek elections.
Oh, well, she doesn't have quite the shrewd political mind of a Naya Rivera. No, I don't want to be mean anymore.
Oh, so that was Billy Eichner and my guest Julie Klausner on an episode of Difficult People, which Julie writes, stars in, and is the executive producer of. So they're so surprised that being nasty to people actually has repercussions. But I'm wondering how this has played out in your life. I mean, you're on Twitter all the time. You've done recaps. So when you've said something bad about people, has that ever come back and slapped you in the face?
Yes, but like our characters on the show, I am so amazed every time it happens because in my mind, I am not famous. I am not listened to or paid attention to. And I think our characters on the show believe in their worldview that they're so inconsequential and they're so ignored. Our characters will always use the passive tense because we believe that it's the world's fault and not ours. There's nothing we can do to even that score. But whenever that does happen, there is a certain amount of surprise in the sense of, oh, you were listening? Thank you.
So let's hear another scene from this series. And this is from the first episode of the first season. And you're having lunch with your mother in a restaurant. And she is played by the great Andrea Martin, who got her start on SCTV.
Hi. Don't you look pretty when you smile? Aw. Honey, do you know this Lena Dunham?
Yeah, actually.
Apparently she's doing great and she's younger than you. She has tattoos. Anyway, this article says it is a great time now for women in comedy.
That's very helpful. Thanks, Mom.
So, aren't you going to ask me if I finished my hypnosis course?
Wow, that would have been a breakneck pace for a change of subjects if both subjects weren't you.
I finished my hypnosis course. When can I practice on you?
You're not hypnotizing me.
It's not like I tell you you're a chicken and then you act like a chicken.
That very well may be, but I still don't want you to do it.
You're lucky to have a mom who's a shrink.
Yes, I'm a walking gratitude list.
Yeah. I asked for sparkling. How's Billy?
He's good. You know, he is just getting over this guy is the only thing. Josh? I don't know if you met him.
I can hypnotize him. It's not like I tell him he's a chicken and all of a sudden he becomes a chicken or something. Did you get that article I sent you about Palestine?
Yes.
Because I'm about to resend it. There we are. What else?
Andrea Martin and my guest Julie Klausner in a scene from Difficult People. So the mother that you've created for the series is so self-absorbed, like everything, absolutely everything is an anthem to herself. But in the acknowledgments to your book, you write, you dedicate the book to your parents and you write, I love you so much, it is actually ridiculous. So make the connection for me between how much you love your actual parents and what a monster the mother in the series is.
Well, the monster in the series is not my real mother. I want to make that clear that she is a fictional character that Andrea Martin plays so beautifully and hilariously that we began writing for her as Marilyn. I mean, she made this character someone that it became a complete and utter joy to write for, and that doesn't come from real life experiences. I don't think I'd be here talking to you if I had a mother like that. The notion of the mom being as self-centered as she is and conditional with her love and as lousy of a listener and someone that repeats herself as much as she does, you know, she repeated herself twice in that scene and assumes that people are as bad of a listener as she is, comes from wanting to establish a world in which my character could exist and explaining why she is as, I mean, difficult as she is. And ideally, setting up some opportunity for people to sympathize with her for having a mom that's more self-centered than she is.
So I want to talk a little bit about casting Difficult People. It's a very representative cast. I mean, you have black actors and white actors, gay actors and straight actors, thin actors and heavy actors, a trans actor, and a great actor who should be better known than he is, who I don't know what other categories he fits into, but that, that one would be James Urbaniak. Did you set about trying to make like a very representative cast and to have very like, you know, diverse characters?
Absolutely. It was never something that was imposed on us or an afterthought. It was just part of the fabric of the world that we wanted to show. And we also wanted to show how trans people can be jerks too. That, you know, there's a whole range of people in New York City, in our world. You know, Billy and Julie aren't the only difficult people. The people around them are pretty awful too, or at least difficult. And I think an important part of inclusiveness and diversity in TV and film has to do with writing characters that are not, you know, perfect or
role
idealistic
models.
Or yeah. Exactly, yeah. And Shakina Nafak, who plays Lola, is so irreverent and hilarious, and she was so excited at the idea of playing a trans character that doesn't get killed or isn't a magical, perfect presence. And we got to do things with her character, like comments on the misinterpretation of who she is. Cole Escola's character, Matthew, is a sort of effeminate theater fanatic who works with Billy at the cafe as a waiter, and he treats Shakina's character like a drag queen and says things like, "Yes, honey," and Lola has to remind him that she's not a drag queen and shuts him down. And that stuff, I've never seen it before. You know, some of the diversity is political, but a lot of it just comes from the fact that, you know, a big challenge of writing is, well, have I seen that before? And would I like to see that?
So you are obviously very passionate about popular culture, which is why you can have so many funny jokes insulting various aspects of popular culture, because you clearly care deeply about it and really know it well. So what did TV and movies and music mean to you when you were a kid growing up?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's kind of a cliche, or at least a modern adaptation of, I guess, At the Ballet from A Chorus Line, but it was a very accessible way to escape all of the social challenges of not necessarily fitting in with my peers in class and instead finding a greater connection in something that was on the screen or on stage. And it took me to emotional places that real life experiences didn't necessarily. Mm-hmm. So it helped me a lot.
So in one of your podcasts in which you talked about seeing the revival of Cats, you talked about how when you were five, you went to the theater and saw Cats. And, you know, the cats go out into the audience, and one of the cats came up to you and touched you. You remembered the cat's orange nail polish, and you wondered, like, is that the moment that you thought you should become a performer? So what did that moment mean to you, especially as someone who's not a participator?
I was five, I think. So I was very impressionable. And I remember the orange nail polish. It was chipped. And I remember thinking, oh, this is like a real cool girl. She reminded me of my babysitter at the time, who was also cool. And I looked up to her and I thought, look at that. Holy cow. And then the rest of it is all emotion that I can try to, you know, retroactively infuse with reason. But it really just comes down to, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Broadway and kitties. And the feeling of just being exposed to this intensity that was very escapist and exciting. And then later you grow older and you're like, why do the cats have to come into the audience? But I did look over at the revival. I did look over the aisle and there was a 10-year-old girl who was interacting with one of the cats who'd come into the audience. And the look on her face was definitely one of the elements that caused me to cry like a baby during memory, was seeing this little girl being, you know, moved in the way that I was, I'm sure.
So I don't know if you're in a relationship now or not, in a way that's irrelevant to this question. When you've had boyfriends over the years, did it matter if they shared your taste or even your interest in popular culture?
I think it matters to some extent. I don't think I could be with someone that had terrible taste. I don't think I would be okay, you know, having to go to Grateful Dead concerts or see Star Wars movies. But I also know that that is not necessarily a deal breaker. And one part of a healthy relationship is one person having things that they're interested in and the other not necessarily feeling obligated to attend every cultural event that they want to check out. I didn't, you know, watch Game of Thrones with my last boyfriend. I was in the next room.
What makes you one of the few people who don't like Game of Thrones?
A few things. Dragons, rape. I mean, there's so many overlapping categories of this particular Venn diagram of not for me.
So I was thinking I'd maybe end the interview the same way I ended my interview with Don Rickles. And this is a question that I've only ever asked Don Rickles, but I think I'll ask it to you too, and I may regret it. But fortunately, we edit the show, so if I don't like the answer, we can just take it out. So the question is, would you insult me?
Not for $1 million.
Ah, oh, come on.
I love you so much, Terry. Can I insult you? I really don't know if I can.
Okay.
I just,
all right. I don't want to put you on the spot.
Like,
I thought it would come
no,
naturally.
No, I wouldn't hear. I wouldn't insult you. I wouldn't insult, you know, Madonna. There's certain people that I just often won't
mentioned in the same sentence as her. It happens to me all the time.
You're more self-aware about your singing. I'll say that. Oh, I just did insult Madonna. No, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do that. I couldn't insult you. I'm not going to insult my dad. Certain people that are off limits.
Oh, okay. Julie Klausner, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh my God, Terry, thank you so much for having me.
Julie Klausner, the creator, writer, and co-star of Difficult People, the Hulu sitcom that launched its third season earlier this month.